Time now for the Seattle Thunderbirds Weekly Coaches Show on your exclusive home for Thunderbirds hockey. 1090 KJR.
A rough midweek saw the T-Birds drop two games. The team looked to a pair of home games on the upcoming weekend to right the ship. With their captain suspended, the team looks to another veteran leader to steer the team through troubled waters. He'll join us along with the coach on Sports Radio 1090 KJR.
Now back to the Seattle Thunderbirds Coaches Show, a weekly look inside T-Birds hockey and the WHL. The Thunderbirds Weekly Coaches Show with Tom Boyning and head coach Matt Odette.
Certainly no way to disguise the disappointment of the two losses suffered by the T-Birds earlier this week. All you can do is put those in the rearview mirror and look forward to the next chance to go out and prove yourself. Fortunately for Seattle, they do get that chance with a pair of home games coming up this weekend. Tomorrow night at 7:35, the Kelowna Rockets and a trio of former T-Birds make their last regular season appearance in Kent this season. Then on Saturday at 6, it's the lone game of the season on the schedule between the T-Birds and the Saskatoon Blades. Reminder, too, that next Wednesday, Thanksgiving Eve, Seattle will host the Victoria Royals at 7:05. And like the Rockets and the Blades and this past Tuesday's opponent Winnipeg, it will be your only or last chance to see them at the Accesso Showwear Center this season. So for tickets, go online to SeattleThunderbirds.com. Now, later during the second half of the show, Connor Brugenkate will join us. We'll talk about providing leadership to this young T-Bird team. But right now, with my co-host Andy Eid unavailable this week, it is time to bring in the head coach, Matt Odette. Well, Matt, obviously, as we said, the two losses during the week, games didn't go the way you wanted them to, and no one wants to lose a game in particular by a score of 10-1. But you go back to that game last night, and we talk about moments in games quite a bit with this young team in particular. It's 2-1 midway through the second period. You've just scored to get within a goal, and you get a power play. Unfortunately, they score shorthanded. Now, I know you had a chance to get it back to 3-2 moments later, but was that the moment of the game, giving up that shorthanded goal?
Yeah, I think so. That goal by Kelty gave us some life, and we got a power play right after that, so it potentially tied the game up, and we give up a shorthanded goal. That's obviously not what you want. You want to continue that momentum and perhaps tie the game, and it went the opposite way, and I think that took a lot of wind out of our sails.
And I've been now with this organization 19 years, and I've seen games throughout that course of time that have gone that way, where they've just gotten away. Are they easy to shake off? Easier than, say, a 3-2 loss? I know you always talk about, those 3-2 losses, you start thinking about all those missed chances that might have tied the game. Is a 10-1 loss easier just to kind of throw away and go on to the next one?
No, they're not easy. It's tough. Nobody wants to go through that. We've got pride. We've got, a lot of stuff invested in what we do every day. And, we care about the team. We care about the T-Birds. And you don't want to get embarrassed like that. It stings. And you have to let it sting. There's two ways to go about it. You can dwell on it. You can pout about it and feel sorry for yourself, or you pick yourself up and you fight back, you battle back, and that's what we plan to do. That's what high character teams do, and we have a lot of character in our locker room.
And when do you find out that your team is able to do that? Is that the next practice or the next game?
Well, I think for us today, our plan is to get on the ice and kind of get that taste out of our mouth. I think that's always helpful. Get back on the skates and get that bad feeling out of our minds. Obviously correct some stuff, and then the next game. I'm glad that it's 48 hours away. We get to get some redemption and opportunity at redemption, and we're focused on that next challenge.
And again, there's disappointment in both the losses in different ways, because you never go into a game thinking we're going to lose, and your point of going out there to play is to win the game. But there's different maybe disappointments in these two, and maybe the one at home against Winnipeg. I'm not saying they were eminently more beatable, but you got off to a good start. You got the first goal in that game, and you couldn't get that second goal before they were able to come back and then get the lead on you.
Yeah, two different games. I think each and every game we believe that we have a chance to win, and that's how you have to go in it. You have to have that mindset, that we can get it done. We've shown it in the past against good teams. you know, the both teams that we played are good teams this year. You know, that's a factor. And I think in the Kamloops game, it was a kind of a perfect storm of bad scenarios going in that game with the travel and all that stuff. But that's how, that's the way it is in the WHL. You're going to have those situations, and you have to find ways to overcome them. And you know, we're in a stretch right now where we got to dig in and work even harder to get out of this.
And you know, if you look at the Kamloops game and the season series, some might say, well, I'm sure Seattle is glad that they don't have to deal with that team again this year, that that series is over. But there's also that other side, I'm sure, of you in particular, and hopefully your players, that competitive side that says, yeah, we didn't play well against them in the series, but we still believe that we have a talented enough team that we can be more competitive than maybe we were the last couple of times we played them, that we'd like another crack at them.
Yeah, and for sure. That's the, you know, that's the competitive side, and that's, you know, part of our characteristics as a team. Part of our culture is to be ultra competitive, and you know, there's an opportunity to get ourselves into the playoffs and get another look at these guys. You know, that's a possibility. So that's something that we can think about. You know, but we don't remember these, or we remember these situations and what teams have done to us, and, you know, maybe run up the score on us, and you know, that'll be filed away in the memory bank, and we'll see these guys again.
That was a game in which your opponent, Kamloops, had 6 19-year-old plus the, you know, the requisite 3 20-year-olds. So half their skaters were 19 or older. Because of your situation with injuries, with suspension, you had a total of 4 guys age 19 and older in the lineup, because Roddy, while he's on the bench as the backup, isn't playing in that game. So, again, there's that youth. But you want those young guys to be able to go out against an older team. You know, we talk about every time they step on the ice, those young players, that is a more experience for them that they're going to eat up, and it's going to make them better players, maybe faster. But when you play a team like that that's older too, and your younger team goes out them, you want them to go out there and, you know, learn how to play against those older teams with that, you know, talented roster like Kamloops had.
Yeah, for sure. It's a you know, every moment's a learning experience. You know, for our young guys, you know, it is tough on the road when you're playing a top team. They've got, you know, four really good lines, and you want to put these guys in opportunities where they can have success and feel good about what they're doing on the ice. And on the road, it's difficult to do that. But I thought our young guys, they held their own. You know, they're trying hard. I'm more concerned with some of our key guys. They're not holding their own against you know, the opposition's key guys, and I think that's one of our problems.
Yeah, I've seen in the last couple of games is some of those young guys just go out there and play hockey. I mean, that's what you want them to do. I mean, not worry about how talented, and don't be intimidated by your opponent. And, you know, even last night, I thought Brandon Williamson had a good game for you at times. He was, you know, driving some of the play for you. And Reed Schaefer, again, just goes out there. He doesn't seem to be intimidated by the situation as a 16-year-old. And I think he got in the wheelhouse of Zane Franklin in that game last night. In fact, one of their 20-year-olds in that game.
Yeah, and there's, you know, he's playing hard. You know, I think he's making a name for himself as a young kid that plays hard. He's getting on the radar that way. And we know there's going to be mistakes and growing pains, but the starting point for guys on our team is that work ethic and doing their best on the ice, and those young kids have been doing that. It's, you know, it's refreshing to see that work ethic, and, you know, just with the learning experience, there's things to correct each game, but these guys have the right attitude and the right work ethic. We're going to see improvement with those guys.
Yeah, and I think you were talking about this in your post-game comments after the game Wednesday up in Campbell with Andy when he called to talk to you after the game. But, you know, Blake Lydic got the start. You've got 2 games coming up this weekend. You got to rest Roddy. He had just played the night before. So you get behind after 2 periods. It's 8-1 or whatever the score was at that point. It was 6-1, actually. And you're going to keep Blake in there, give him those minutes. Do you have to have, I'm sure, that conversation with him, like, look, I'm not throwing you under the bus, but this is the situation coming up. He, you know, he needs ice time, too. He's got to go out there and play. He's not going to start a lot because he's got Roddy in front of him. So do you have that conversation between periods?
We have that conversation as a coaching staff. I think, you know, in hindsight, for me, I take ownership of that one. I think looking at it a little more closely, I think we could have gave Blake some relief there. The team didn't have it in front of him. You know, Blake was playing hard, and it was just an off night for the team. And, you know, that's on me. I believe I made him a poor judgment there and leaving him in there. And I had a conversation with him after the game about that. And, you know, we'll put that behind us.
So you look at the first half of that game, and I know what the game plan was going into that game, obviously, is to, you know, keep it close to the vest, not let them get out in front of you, kind of negate some of their speed. And through the first half of the game, it seemed like you were able to accomplish some of those goals in that game, because it was, as we said, it was a 2-1 game halfway through the contest.
Yeah. You know, we wanted to, you know, not get in the track meet type of game and manage the momentum well. Obviously, that didn't happen when they got the ball rolling on us there. But I thought the first half of the game, we kept them in check. We kept a lot of their shots and their opportunities, you know, to the perimeter there. And, you know, we couldn't sustain that. They have a fast team. I think, you know, with the travel and everything, as the game wore on, it was harder for us to keep up with them. You know, I think that was one of the factors in the game.
Yeah, it's just part of the schedule. Every team is somewhere along the line probably going to go through that. It was just a case where, you know, perfect storm, I guess. You had played the night before at home. You make that long bus trip. They didn't play and hadn't played since the weekend. They're sitting at home waiting for you. They're looking at their schedule, seeing what they've got, and they're probably looking at that game and saying, we can't have a letdown against Seattle.
Yeah. You know, sometimes when in these situations for – you look at the circumstances, and it can be a trap game for them in these situations. But you know, they played well. You know, they avoided that, and you know, we just, you know, it was a tough circumstance for us, but we still needed a better showing.
Well, you know, you're going to get a little help on the weekend. First Friday night, we anticipate Cade McNelly back in the lineup, and that'll be the final game of the four-game suspension as well for Matthew Wedman. He'll be back in Saturday. So you get back to that point then when you have to make some decisions on your lineup. So how critical are these practices until the game Friday for some of your players?
Well, it's important for, you know, the guys that haven't been playing, have been injured, to get that ice time and get back up to speed. It's important that way. And I think, like I said, for our team as a whole, you know, to get that taste out, and we'll have just a quick skate, get the bus legs out, and just kind of get a better feeling about being on the ice, maybe have a little bit of fun out there, you know, work on some things, but, you know, work on the team morale and the feeling overall, I think, is going to be beneficial today.
And just getting the compete level, I'm sure, back up. I mean, what you had the first half of the game against Kamloops was a compete level. It waned as they were scoring more and more goals. Didn't completely drop off. Guys were still fighting through to the final, but maybe the compete level in the second half of the game, as particularly the game got going forward, wasn't what it was in the first half. And again, the energy from, you know, the situation, the travel situation, plays a big role in that. But again, if you have your compete level up, then you can stay in games like you were the first half against the Blazers.
Yeah, I mean, could it be higher? Yes. I think at the same time, we're a young team. Kids get discouraged in these situations there. You know, especially when the matchup's not in our favor, they're playing against, you know, some 19-year-old guys, NHL draft picks, top scorers in the league. These aren't easy assignments. So, you know, I think our guys tried hard. I don't think it was a matter of, you know, not competing or not trying their hardest. That was there. Some of the execution, some of the tape passing, some of the, you know, skating speed stuff wasn't where it needed to be. But I thought the guys tried hard. And that's the thing right now. We need to be mentally tough, you know, not get discouraged as quickly. And that can happen when you're going through these types of stretches.
Well, fans, don't forget, two home games this weekend. Info online at SeattleThunderbirds.com. As we take a break, a reminder, too, that coming up in the second half of the show, along with the return of the head coach, Connor Brugenkate will join us. So stick around on Sports Radio 1090 KJR.
This is the Thunderbirds Weekly Coaches Show on 1090 KJR.
And we are back. A reminder that my co-host Andy I had a conflict this week, so he's not with us on the program. Hopefully he's going to return soon. I hear there's an opening at Coach's Corner, so maybe, you know, rumor that he might be lining up for that. We will soon be rejoined by the head coach, Matt Audette, but before we get to this week's guest player, just a quick reminder again of the upcoming three-game homestand that starts tomorrow night at 7:30 against the Kelowna Rockets and those three former T-Birds that are coming back in for the final time this season, by the way. Saturday at 6, it's the Saskatoon Blades, and next week, Wednesday, Thanksgiving Eve, the T-Birds welcome the Victoria Royals to town at 7:05. That'll be their last appearance at the Access Showwear this season. As always, tickets for those home games available online at SeattleThunderbirds.com. Well, with Matthew Wedman suspended, he has to serve out one more game on that four-game suspension, and that will be tomorrow night. He returns to the lineup Saturday against the Saskatoon Blades. The T-Birds have turned to our guest for on-ice and in-the-room leadership, and while the game results have not reflected it, I do believe that he has picked up that mantle and delivered some quality leadership, and we want to welcome into the program Connor Brugenkate. Well, Connor, instead of starting with talking about what happened this week, the two games we played, I want to go back to the start of the season. I know we talked a little bit early in the year, you know, about coming over the trade deadline. So I really want to talk about leadership, because this is a very young hockey team. And when you come to a new team and you're an older player, I think there's always this assumption that because you're 20, you're going to automatically be a leader. But I'm guessing that when you first come to the franchise here, because there's a number of other potential 20-year-olds who could take up those spots, that first and foremost, you're focused on just making the roster, do what you can to make the roster, and not necessarily on maybe being a leader at that point through training camp.
Yeah. Obviously, when I first got here, there is, I believe, six of us. So it was competitive throughout camp every day. You're trying to prove yourself. But at the same time, I think lots of what the coaches were looking at was leadership too, and so I was trying to be as much of a leader as I can, being a new guy here, and as well as just showcasing myself and trying to make the team myself.
And when you do make the team and you know you're going to be here and you're going to be one of the three 20-year-olds, how do you integrate your style of leadership as the new guy on the block with some young players, but some guys who have been here in the previously for at least a year or two, and you're kind of the new guy trying to have your voice heard in the room or on the ice?
Yeah. Obviously, it's different comparing myself to, say, like Matthew Wedman or Roddy Ross, guys that have been here for a year or more. I just came in, and I had to build relationships with everyone. So just starting from getting to know everyone personally, and after that, I think just trying to build a respect level with the young guys and being able to eventually have a comfortable enough relationship with everyone to become the leader I am.
And what kind of leader would you say you are? Are you more of a vocal leader or a lead by example guy?
I'd say I'm a bit of both. It depends the situation. In games, you can be vocal at times, but at times I don't think it's necessarily the best to be vocal. And sometimes you just got to lead by doing stuff right. And I think it's just a balance of having both.
And then how do you kind of balance leadership, or when to maybe speak up, or when to maybe just let those players, those younger players, kind of find their way for a bit? For example, you know, you win a game against Portland 5-4 here in that shootout. Everybody's excited. That's probably a little easier to be a leader after that game and you know, pat those guys in the back, good job, as opposed to, say, you know, these two games we played this past week, we didn't win. Do you have to approach it differently as a leader of how you're going to talk to those guys, or if they come to you, how you would speak to them?
Yeah, obviously it's different. After the Portland game, everyone was up and happy, and after this week, we didn't necessarily have the best couple of games, and approaching the guys after losing, I think there's a fine line of being hard and just being positive and reminding them about the good things that we've done, reminding them of Portland, about all the good things that we've done throughout this year. And there's just a fine line of being hard, but also just helping and lifting each other up.
And the uniqueness, I guess, of this situation is that this is such a young team. There are so many players who are 17 or younger on this roster. I don't know if you ever dealt with a situation like that when you were a younger guy, how young those Kelowna teams were with that leadership group. If you've seen a situation like this before with so many young players on a team, that does it? Do you think you have to be maybe more of a leader than you would with an older team?
Yeah. Obviously, when I was with Kelowna, we had a couple older teams, so there wasn't as many young guys when I was 17, 18. And I think obviously there's a bit more of a leadership role with having so many first-year players, second-year players that are only 17 years old. Yeah, it's just every time you come to the rink, you got to set a good example. And it's just a lot different with a younger team. But it's something good, and we're building a young team, and it's good.
And you're only going to be here for one season. This is your final, your 20-year-old year, but you want to have an impact on these guys down the road that maybe they, when they're 18 or 19 or where they get into that leadership roles, they'll remember something that Connor Brugen Kate told them.
Yeah, for sure. Obviously, I want to smile last year here, so I just want to show them what kind of leader I am, and hopefully they can take something out of that and apply it down the road.
Now, I want to talk specifically about this recent stretch of games because the captain, Weds, has been out serving out his suspension. He's got the one more game to go. And they say leadership is kind of, there are intangibles and tangibles. Some you can see right away. Others, it's hard to describe that kind of leadership. I'm looking at these three games, and I know the results aren't necessarily there. You got the big win against Portland. Unfortunately, didn't get the results in the last two games. But it does, as I watch you play in these last three games, it does appear to me that you saw that there's a bit of a void on the ice, not necessarily in the room, because Weds is still around the team. He hasn't been put on suspension island. He's still around the team. But on the ice, it really seems like you picked up that mantle of leadership by example and said, you know, follow my way. I'm going to go out there. I'm going to play hard every shift, and hopefully those young guys will follow your example. Did you feel that in those situations with Weds not available to play those games that you had to step up even more so with your play on the ice?
Yeah, for sure. With Weds of the lineup, I felt that there had to be one player, and obviously I'm not trying to change anything that I do with Weds in or out of the lineup, sorry. I just stick to my game, and I just try to lead as a leader, and I just do what I do, and I try to stick with the game plan.
Lastly, my partner who's normally here, you probably know Andy Ida at post-game, probably had a couple of conversations with you. He's gone to calling you the network, CBC, your initials. So he wanted to know, I thought maybe that's why he didn't show up, because he was afraid to call you that here and see what your response would be. But he wanted to know how you would respond to being called the network.
Yeah, it's fine. I mean, I've heard everyone say CBC and kind of lean towards that same kind of concept, I guess, the network. So I don't have a problem with it.
Have you had any nicknames throughout your career? I mean, a lot of times they just probably call you Broogie or something like that. That's the easy way to go. But is that the more unique one?
Yeah, definitely. I usually only hear Broogie or Broogs or sometimes CBC, but I've never heard the network, so it's a little more unique.
Well, you get your second crack at your old team Friday night. They come in to play. Good matchup against the Rockets. Didn't go your way the first time. They won that game. I'm sure you're looking forward to this rematch.
Yeah, for sure.
Anybody on that team you're good with, friends with, that you're looking forward to competing against?
Yeah, I have a good few friends there. The 99 group, Topping, Mattson, I'm really close with. So, I mean, Topping's obviously injured. But obviously it's a little different playing against those guys, and I'm excited to compete against them and hopefully things go our way this time.
Well, we'll keep an eye on those matchups. Well, thank you for coming in. We know the circumstances have that long travel coming off that game in Kamloops, but good play here in the last games. Keep it going, and again, showing some great leadership. Thanks for being with us.
Perfect. Thank you.
Time now to bring back in the head coach, Matt Audette. Matt, I hear it all the time. It's easier to forget the loss, the wins, than it is the losses. So you get, as we mentioned in the first half, a chance to kind of get that bad taste out of your mouth. You got two games coming up on the weekend, beginning tomorrow night. You come back on home ice. You got the game Friday against the Rockets, Saturday against Saskatoon. It's the old get back on the bicycle and start pedaling again.
Yeah, for sure. You know, teams face adversity. You know, this is nothing new in sports. You know, we've been through it over the years. You know, it's nothing new for us. And it's just all in the response. You know, what's happened has happened. It all depends on how we respond to it. And I think we've got a lot of heart, a lot of character in our room. We're going to keep fighting. You know, that Friday is an opportunity to show that character and put that on display, and I'm looking forward to it.
As we mentioned, you will get some reinforcements. Cade McNally in the lineup Friday. He's missed a lot of time. Got hurt the second game, I believe, of the season. And there's a difference between practice speed and game speed. But, you know, he's been skating, been practicing now for a while, and they're cautious in getting him back in the lineup. I mean, if the situation was different and you really needed him, probably would have played maybe either Tuesday or Wednesday, if not sooner. But, again, you've got enough bodies that you don't have to rush him. But, you know, we're not saying one guy makes a difference, but he is a significant piece of your back end.
Yeah, for sure he is. You know, we've been cautious with him. You know, he's a big part of our team, and we don't want to put him at risk. So, you know, he's more than ready to go come Friday night. You know, having that game speed and game experience might take some time to get that back up. But Cade's a guy that's improved his game. He's worked extremely hard to improve as a player. You know, that's coming around for him. You know, he's seen himself as a top four type defenseman on our team right now, and I think what he brings to the table is physical play, intimidation, and pushback, which we haven't had a ton of, to be honest. There, we've really missed him in that regard, and you can't measure the impact that he has. There's no numbers that correlate with it, but there's some hesitation from the opposing forwards when he's on the ice, going in the corners, going in the front of the net, and he can make a very big impact that way.
And his absence meant more ice time for probably Luke Bateman than he was anticipating. So now he has that experience under his belt. But now, you know, he's probably going to be the bottom six defense group. I'm assuming with Cade coming back, not going to get those top four, not be tasked against another team's top line.
Yeah, for sure. And that's the benefit of being fully healthy and having Cade back. Bateman did real well. He stepped up for us. You know, it's really hard for a young defenseman to do that, to get some of those top line assignments. You know, there's been some growing pains there, but he's shown well. And, you know, with Cade coming back, you know, guys can maybe slot down a little bit and get some better matchups that way. You know, you have that luxury when you're healthy and you've got all your guys in the lineup.
In the absence of Weds, you know, Connor Brugen, Cade stepped up. I thought he did, as we talked to him, a good job in just kind of the on-ice leadership, kind of leading by example. He was skating hard every shift he had and, you know, kind of saying, hey, guys, follow me. You know, another guy, Kelty, Jerry Leon, all of a sudden he's your leading goal scorer, was seven now. He's scored a couple of goals recently. And you need that secondary scoring. You need him to continue at that pace now.
Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned those two guys because they've been great for us. You know, Brugge, he just works hard. He just sets the bar as far as work ethic. You know, he plays with that T-Bird identity. You know, he's been great showing the young guys that type of work ethic. And I think with Kelty, just being positive every day. The guy works on his craft every day. He's, you know, on the ice late. He's in the gym. He's shooting extra pucks. He's doing all these things. And at the same time, having that positive mentality, and that has led to his success without a doubt. You know, he's always positive and always working on his game, and you know that can rub off on the other guys.
Yeah, not necessarily the same kind of player, but some of those attributes you just mentioned kind of reminds me of Zach Andrusiak, the guy who worked so hard on his shot and put in that extra time.
Yeah, it pays off. You know, it's you know, that compound effect. If you're doing that every day, day in and day out, over time, you know, you're going to get better. It's just the way it is. And, you know, I've been proud of Kelty and what he's done. He hasn't always gotten the ice time and hasn't always been on the best lines, but he's kept a positive attitude, and it's paying off. He's our leading goal scorer now.
So, you know, you play these last six games, five of the six games, you're playing a team that's either first, second, or third in the Western Conference, two of them top in their division in these games against Everett, Portland, and Kamloops. You played a couple of those teams twice. Should make you a better team because you're, again, playing that top competition. It's nothing to shy away from. It's nothing to be intimidated by, but you do have that young lineup. But, again, you throw them to the wolves and see what they can do.
Yeah, it's... You know, there's no relief, you know, when it comes to games in the U.S. Division or the Western Conference. It's, you know, I think it's a little bit different than playing out in the Eastern Conference there when you're a young team. But, you know, like you said, yeah, we're not going to back down. We're not going to shy away from the challenge in front of us. We got to face it head on. And that's just part of our character and showing that each and every night. We got to lay it on the line. And this weekend's another big test.
Well, we look forward to seeing that here in the two games this weekend, beginning with that matchup against Kelowna.
All right. Thanks, Tom.
Well, that wraps up another weekly coaches show. Just a heads up that because next Thursday is Thanksgiving, there will be no show next week. We'll give the coach the day off to celebrate the holiday with family. The T-Birds are on the ice, though, twice this weekend, beginning tomorrow night at 7:35 as they host the Kelowna Rockets. Thanks again to our guest, Connor Brugenkate, and the head coach, Matt Odette. I'm Tom Boyning, and we'll see you at tomorrow night's game.
This has been the Seattle Thunderbirds Coaches Show with Tom Boyning and head coach, Matt Odette. Join us again next Thursday night at 6 on your home for Thunderbirds hockey, 1090 KJR.